Good morning. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me okay? What? Okay, I'll hold it for a little bit. All right. I just want to say good morning, family, because you guys are the family. You're my family, you're our family, you're the family of God. And I want to start out with that. And I just want to thank you for this opportunity. It's really different, I know, to see me up here. But many, many, many months ago, God put a message in my heart. And it was so powerful. I was like, God, you want me to use this someday for our body. And I just sat on it for the longest time. And I said, God, you're going to show me when is the time. And a couple weeks ago, I had visited with the elders board and different things at different times, and it was not the time, was it not the time? And Paul came home a couple weeks ago and said, well, we talked about it, this is the time. We have a word for you to share, you have a word to share, and this is the time for you to share it. And I went, oh, okay, I guess I got to be ready to share the word now. And I started working on it again and putting some things together, and many papers laying all over everywhere of notes I had been taking for months about this particular message. And yesterday I was working on it, and I was printing up the pages of my notes, and I got to the last page, and the computer shut completely down. And across the screen, it was all black, and then a blue screen came up, and it said, your hard drive has an error, cannot be fixed. I said, you stinking enemy. We're not going to allow this to happen. So Paul and I just came together. We just prayed against that, and we waited about an hour, and we went back up, and the computer was working again, and Paul printed up the last page for me, and we were thanking God for that. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. I could hardly swallow. I had a terribly bad sore throat. And I was like, again, you stinking devil, because I really believe with all of my heart this is a word for our body today. And he's going to do anything he can and everything he can to stop that. So anyway, here we go. And you probably can tell by the worship songs that the message is about love. And actually, when Don got up and spoke, he pretty much spoke my message. So we could go home, or we could hear the rest of what God laid on my heart, and we can talk about it. And I've entitled my message, How's Your Love Life? So we're going to talk about three different areas of love. Loving Jesus, loving others, and loving ourselves. I'm going to begin now by saying this part. I do not think of myself as a profound teacher of the Word of God, a powerhouse preacher, or even a polished speaker. Sandy, Tom, Wayne, and Charles have all proven that that's what they are, but I'm just more of a willing vessel. So keep that in mind. It may not be pretty, but I'm going to do the best I can. This word came to me with a conversation with my daughter, actually Rebecca. She's here today as a support to me, and I thank you guys for being here. And we were talking and we were discussing, and she said something that just put a word in my heart, and it just grew from there. So thank you, Rebecca, for that. And going to talk, like I said, about love. It's a very familiar word. We hear it. We say it many times a day, probably way more than we even think. We use it for everything. There are 300 to 500, depending upon the translation, scriptures in the Bible that talk about love. And there are over 100 million songs written about love. There are countless other phrases and poems written on the topic. Back just a few years ago, when I was a teenager, there was, in almost every mall in America, something called a passion scale. Who knows what I'm talking about? Anybody? Paul has seen one. Don, Sandy are saying yes. It was close to the restrooms in the malls, and malls were just becoming a big thing then, and everybody wanted to go to the shopping mall. Great big huge scale, you would put a quarter in the side and you would stand on it. And in just a few moments, it would tell you what your passion level was. Were you dead cold? Were you cold and prickly? Were you warm and fuzzy? They had some other ones in between. Or were you hot and sizzling? And that, when I was preparing for this, God brought me back to that moment. I know it seems kind of ridiculous and a little bit silly, but I heard this question. If you stepped on the scale today, what would it say about your love? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this word. I thank you for your love. I thank you how when we come against the enemy in your name, there is power. And Lord, I thank you that you are going to use this message to speak to the hearts of everyone here, I believe it. And God, I pray that it would be a challenge, but at the same time, an encouragement and a word of truth spoken straight from you. We thank you for it. I ask that I'd be able to deliver it in the way that you've given it to me. Lord, that our ears would be turned upward to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come with me, if you will, to a place called Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the upper room. It's the evening of the Last Supper, and Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet. Conversation is taking place between Jesus and his chosen men. It is revealed that Judas Iscariot is Jesus' betrayer. Satan enters into Judas, and Judas soon departs. Conversation continues, and Jesus tells the remaining disciples these words. John 13, 34, and 35. So, now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In here, it says a new commandment. Why is it new? Aren't we always supposed to love one another? Well, I believe it's new because it is now based on the way Jesus loves us. He gave us another commandment we'll look at later where he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's our love. This is his love. And this is the way that he wants us to love. Jesus was motivating us to love each other with a self-sacrificing, godly love, the Jesus way, because it would be a testimony to the world. These verses challenge us to love in a way that proves to the world that we are his disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus, one who gives up everything to follow after Jesus. That's what he's called us to be. A few weeks ago, I received a text message relaying a recap of a short exchange of words between two boys. The boys were ages 7 and 5, and the conversation went like this. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. No, I love Jesus. And then with fists clenched, punches began to fly. The two boys were fighting over who loved Jesus more. Those two boys are two of my grandsons. And they were in the yard punching each other and arguing over who loved Jesus and who loved him the most. This had me questioning all that day, when was the last time I had a conversation with someone about my love for Jesus? And do I love with a clenched fist, ready to punch when it doesn't go my way? Both the Old and the New Testaments tell us how we are to love Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And again in Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So with all your mind is added there. These verses tell us that Jesus wants all of us. He wants every bit of who we are. He wants our intellect. He wants our passion. He wants our prayer. He wants our life, every part of us. We don't get to choose. When we're a disciple of Jesus, we give up everything to follow him, and we love him this way. It's not selective. He says to us, love me with everything you have, more than anything else or anyone else. And church, how can we not love him? He is incredible. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He is our life. He's our protector, our provider, our peace, our hope, our friend, our comforter. He conquered death and the grave for us. And he is our returning King one day soon. I believe he's coming back. So how can we not love him? And he's not only those things, he's so much more. I'm sure in your mind you can think of all the things that you know Jesus to be. How can we not love him? Okay, back to some practical ways to love Jesus. By no means is this an exhaustive list, but I put together a list of ways that we can love Jesus. With everything that we are, we can praise him, we can worship him. We came together this morning and we sang songs about Jesus' love and we worshiped him. But do we worship like David worshiped? Do we come into this house expecting God to move in a powerful way? Do we love him that way? Do we worship him that way? Do we hold back? Are we afraid to dance or to shout or to really praise him and worship him? What holds us back? Because he's worthy. It isn't him. Sometimes it's us. We can talk with him in prayer, but we need to listen and not just ask. Trust him. Know that he has everything in his hand and it's all under control. Commune with him. Obey him. It's the very reason I'm here today, is because God said, give this word. And I wanted to obey him. He loves our obedience. Thank him. Did you thank him this morning when you got up for a good day, for a new day, for cooler weather? Reflect his light. Sandy talked about this last week, how we need to reflect the light of Jesus. We need to deny self, take up our cross, and follow him. Denying self means surrender, stripping yourself of everything that you are and following after him and loving the way he asked us to. That shows our love for Jesus. Contemplate him. Meditate on him. Get to know him. How's your relationship with Jesus? Honor him. A song came to my mind from when I was a little girl. And some of you know it. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Ears, what you hear. Feet, where you go. And hands, what you touch. That's how we honor him. Submission to him. Doing as he's asked us to do, when he asks us to do it. We don't get to say, Jesus, I love you. And in all these areas of my life, I submit to you. But not this one. I got this, God. I don't need you. I can do it on my own. And then in John 21, 17, Jesus says, the third time he said to him, which is Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And that is one of the ways we also can love Jesus, is by feeding his sheep. Do you get hurt when you're questioned about your love for Jesus? Peter was. He said, man, God, that stings. You've asked me 3 times now. But you know, God knows our heart. So how do we feed his sheep? This brings us to point number 2, loving others. We live in a world with a lot of hurt today, a lot of hurt. We need people. We need each other. We can start out by being a friend, being a great listener. To be a good listener, you have to be present in the moment. Avoid distractions. Don't be in a hurry. Jesus made time for people. He wasn't in a hurry. Studies show that at this time, 2023, Americans are the loneliest people on earth. That should not be. Why? America is still one of the greatest countries on earth, one of the wealthiest. We have so much, but yet we're so lonely. Helen Keller said, walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. We need each other. We need to carry each other's burdens. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says this. 2 people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone, when they fall, they are in real trouble. I can tell you this personally, not because I personally fell and needed help, but I spent 12 years taking care of the Olden Camp family. And Paul and I left to go to Florida, and there was no one there to help Bob that day. And he fell, and he probably laid on the floor for, I don't know, a day or more. We don't really know. And he was in real trouble, and he never really recovered. Orville Rader, another one, he fell. Paul and I had been helping him some. He fell when everyone was away at the football championship game. And he's now in an assisted living place or a nursing home, probably never to return home again. And you all know of people who have fallen and couldn't get up. And Bible tells us we need each other. So let's help each other. We need to meet needs when we become aware of them. Show hospitality. That's a huge one. I struggled with that for quite a while. Used to be very, very hospitable. Then Paul and I tore up our kitchen and we tore up our porch. And we don't have it fully repaired yet, so I wouldn't have anybody over because I thought it didn't look its best. And God told me that was wrong. So I had to make that right. I had to do what he wanted me to do because he wants us to be hospitable. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that you have no time or that it isn't safe or that your house isn't good enough, because those are all lies and we shouldn't believe them. Encourage each other. Support. Support one another in every way you can. The smallest act can make the biggest difference in someone's life. Be patient. Be compassionate. Extend mercy. You know, it is possible to love someone that you don't like. You don't have to like them, because there are personalities that don't get along with other personalities. We don't always have to like each other, but we have to love each other. It's our commandment. Do good and be kind. I chose Hebrews 13:16 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, do not forget or neglect to do kindness and be good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Did you know that it's a sacrifice to do good and to be kind? And it pleases God. Be generous. Generosity is a great act of worship. When we give, when we tithe, as a form of worship, one of the greatest forms. And I was surprised by this when I was looking at how many times love was in the scripture. I ran across how many times giving and generosity is in the scripture. Love, I told you, was between 300 and 500 times. How many times do you think giving and talking about your possessions is mentioned in the Bible? Over 2,000 times. Have we built an empire that has enslaved us, that has kept us busy and unable to love the way that Jesus called us to love? Another way to love others is to intercede on their behalf, to speak words that are a gift to the hearer, to be available, to be faithful, a loyal friend. Remember when we sang, "Oh, how he loves us," and we talked to that little phrase, a wet, sloppy kiss? I didn't know Paul was going to choose that song, and one of the things I put in here when the Lord showed me we needed to be faithful and be a loyal friend, I put like a big wet kiss from a puppy. Forgive offenses. Don't be ready to punch. That clenched fist that I talked about earlier with the boys, let's not do that. If things don't go our way, let's not speak negatively of someone else. Let's not get angry. And then we have, it comes down to our personal life. Be a better spouse. Husbands, how are you doing? Are you loving your wives as Christ loved the church? Wives, how are we doing? Are we respecting our husbands as God's word tells us to? Children, how are you doing? Are you obeying your parents? Are you listening to the things they ask you to do, even if you don't want to do them? Be a better sibling, a better son, a better daughter, a better aunt or uncle or grandparent or whatever your title might be. Parents, are you exasperating your children? Are you loving them and disciplining them as God asked you to? Serve. Serving is a great form of leadership. Weep when others are weeping. Rejoice when others are rejoicing. And be ready to lay down your life for your brother or sister. 1 John 3:16 says this: we know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. In July of 2020, actually July 9 of 2020, and we all know what was happening in 2020. It was in the midst of that ugly COVID virus. There was a young man by the name of Bridger Walker. Roxanne's showing you his pictures. You guys might remember this story. He was only 6 years old when a menacing dog lunged at his younger sister. She was four. Instinctively, Bridger jumped in front of her, shielding her from the dog's ferocious attack. After receiving emergency care and 90 stitches to his face, Bridger explained his actions. "If someone had to die, I thought it should be me." That's a heart that God loves. 6 years old, and immediately went into action on behalf of another. And to this day, he's had three plastic surgeries. He's endured a lot of pain. During the COVID time, it was really difficult because they couldn't get the equipment and the supplies they needed to do his surgery. He has a little bit of a scar. They have asked him if he wants the surgeon to fix it. And he said, no, I want to leave it. It's a reminder of the love I have for my sister. And I thought right away about, doesn't Jesus have scars? Because he loved us. So it's amazing. Look at that little boy. You can see the first picture. I don't know how well you can see. There were some pictures right after it happened, and they were too gruesome to show. So, and then there he is with his little sister. And he's still just as loving as he ever was. And I just think, wow, that must be some either incredible parents that have taught him that. They have five children, and he's right smack dab in the middle. And he just instantly thought, why not me? Why not me? So we have looked at loving Jesus and loving others. Now I'm going to go to point three, loving ourselves. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I know we've heard that three times now, but the second part of this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In these verses, we see that we need to love ourselves. What might that look like? Loving ourselves. Spiritual disciplines such as confession, fasting, tithing, attending church, reading the word, memorizing scripture, joining and participating in a small group, and praying daily, all are necessary to loving ourselves. Surrendering bad habits. I gotta tell you this, I had a bad habit. Well, maybe not everybody thinks it was a bad habit. I've confessed it to the ladies at Bible study. Roxanne's back there chuckling. I was addicted to Candy Crush on my tablet, that little game. And Michael and our son Ryan, both of our sons, taught me how to play. So I told them it was their fault that I got addicted because I had no idea what I was doing on it, but they taught me how to play Candy Crush. And so then every spare moment I had, I'd get on my tablet and I'd just try to play a couple of games. Well, you know how it can get addicting, and you play a game and then you want to play another game and then you want to see if you can beat that game, beat that score. And one day I was complaining because I just didn't think I was getting enough stuff done that I wanted to get done. And on my days I was feeling good, I had all these things I wanted to do, but I found it easy just to pick up my tablet. So 4 months ago, God spoke to me and he said, Pam, you can get over this Candy Crush thing. That's simple if you give it to me. So I prayed about it and the Lord said, the tablet goes away for 3 months. August 14 was the end of 3 months. I took out the tablet, I played a couple games, and I go, this is what I was doing? And God changed my perspective on it in just those 3 months. So sometimes we have to surrender, we have to give up bad habits, we have to do things, and maybe the rest of you think that's not a big deal. But if I was should have been doing other things, if I wasn't praying as much as I was playing Candy Crush, or if I wasn't serving others, or if I was too tired to give to somebody else because I stayed up till midnight or later to play a game, then that is a problem, and I needed to give it up. So if you have a bad habit, they're hard to give up, but Jesus can help you. Excuse me. Forgive yourself. Is shame, guilt, unforgiveness a part of your life? You need to forgive yourself for those things. Stand firm. Sandy talked to us last week again about putting on the full armor of God. So we put on the armor and then we stand. And we stand against that devil. And the word tells us when you've done everything, stand and stand firm. Fear not. You may have heard this before, but fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. Fear not. Get rid of self-doubt. Be confident of who you are in Jesus. G.K. Chesterton once said, every life matters. You matter. I matter. It's the hardest thing in theology to believe. We live in a world today, you look around, do you think people love themselves? I would say not. Not the people in the world, anyway. Maybe some of us do. And I know there's days I have hard times loving myself because I know all my mistakes and I know the things that I've done. But Jesus loves us in spite of that. And he calls us to love ourselves, love our neighbor like we love ourselves. If we think poorly of ourselves, how are we going to treat our neighbor? Take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The enemy lies every time he opens his mouth. The battle begins in our mind. So take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Resist temptation. Walk away. Be honest with yourself. Make time for silence, solitude, and contemplation. Rest. Is God now a God of exhaustion? Because we are, most of the time. You talk to people, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so busy. I'm just tired. Or does he still lead us beside the quiet waters? I want to share with you about what God did in Paul's heart and in my heart concerning rest. I apologize, Roxanne, Rebecca, and Michelle. You've heard it plenty of times. How important it is to take time to take a Sabbath, whether that's a few minutes every day, whether that is weekly, or whenever you know God's calling you to. But Paul and I felt so convicted about going and going and going and doing. And then I got a really serious illness and I was very sick and I was home for over a year, could hardly leave the house. And I found out that that's possible. You can rest when you need to rest and how necessary it is. So we began to look at what does it mean to take a Sabbath. We read two or three books about Sabbath rest that year for Christmas. Not knowing we had done this, our daughter-in-law, Katie, gave both Paul and I a powerful book called Rest. And we looked at that, and we studied, and we decided that we were going to set aside a 24-hour period to take a Sabbath rest. So Paul and I started. We chose Saturday night at 9 o'clock to Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And at the beginning, it was hard because the enemy didn't want to see it happen. We are almost, January will be 2 years into this now that Paul and I have committed to this. And I cannot tell you what a difference it's made in our life. Where you put aside everything, put away my phone, put away the tablet, put away the distractions of the world. Different times, people will want to call him and talk to him about work-related stuff, and he said, not today. You can call me on Monday. I don't want to talk about it. And we look forward to it now. We're like, is Saturday coming? Is it almost 9 o'clock? Because we know we need that time of resting, and it's okay. Jesus withdrew from the crowd. He got away. He had times of resting. We can too. The work will wait. So find a way to have a few quiet moments each day. It's a way you love yourself. Acquire wisdom. Study his word to promote growth. So as a recap, we need to love Jesus. We need to love others. And we need to love ourselves. This message was meant to challenge us in the ways that we love. When we love like Jesus, we show the world that we are his disciples. Are we just a friendly church? Or are we a loving church? Does the world know? Because church, I want to say this to you. There's a lot of things we do right, but there are some things we need to improve on. And if we want to grow as a church, we have to work on our love. And we need to not be angry with others. There should not be dissension, arguing, hurt feelings. We have to let that go. We have to, in order to grow, in order to be God's true disciple, and in order to show a lost and dying world that we are his follower. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this challenge to us today. Thank you for showing us how much you love us. Lord, it's a new commandment because it's your way of love and it's not our way of love. No human can love as completely as you do. But help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and to love as you taught us. May our love not be for others or self as much as it is for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you step on the scale today, the passion scale, what would it say? Are we cold, warm, or sizzling hot? Now, before you go, I have a song that I would like to play. It's called The Jesus Way. And, okay, I promise this part won't be as long as the other part was, but I just want to say if you were challenged by anything that was said today, and there's something that you think you need to do or change, that's between you and the Lord. Spend some time with him. Talk about it. If you need prayer, I'm sure Don and Sandy would, others here that would pray with you. So don't walk away. I don't want that message to make it sound like we're not loving Christ. I want to make that very clear, because we do. But again, as I said, we can all make improvements in so many ways in our life. But what I want to do now is I want to spend some time saying what I believe the Lord laid on my heart in ways we do things right and what we can learn from each other. So if you say, man, some of those things seem really hard, it's not as hard as it seems to carry it out. It's easy to understand, sometimes hard to do, but we have people within this body. Every one of you has a gift and a special thing that you can show us about love. And we're going to talk about that right now. And I call these my commendation medals. So if you were in the military, you'd receive a commendation medal for these things. And I'm also going to talk about some people who aren't here because this is the whole body. I'm going to start with Phyllis. Phyllis exudes joy. And when I was talking about loving Jesus, loving others, and loving yourself, that's J-O-Y, joy. And Phyllis shows us joy in the things that she does. And Phyllis just doesn't know how to retire. She continues at her age to serve in this church by making the bulletin, by being on the elder board. She was here yesterday to do work when Paul and I were here looking at songs. She's just busy. She's busy all the time, and that's a great thing. So Phyllis, thank you. Servant's heart. Don, you love Jesus and you love people, and it shows. You love to talk about Jesus. I could almost picture you getting in a fight with somebody about Jesus and how much you love him. And you love evangelism. Thank you, Don. Sandy, you have a love for preaching, a love for teaching, a love for the scripture, and you do a wonderful job when you get up here and you share with us the many weeks that you have, and it's always been enjoyable to hear. And I was a little afraid. I told Paul this today. I'm not as knowledgeable as Sandy is in the Word. I have to be really careful what I say today. So thank you, Sandy, for loving the Word and teaching us about the Word. We appreciate you. Ray. Ray loves to play the harmonica. And it was something that God brought to my memory when we were looking at love songs. And I was like, I bet Ray would want to play his harmonica. So I called him. He answered the phone and he said, you bet, what do you want and when do you want it? That's the heart of a servant. And he's got a gift for music. And so Ray, we thank you. You are also faithful to your position in this church of serving and making coffee and doing an usher and greeter and the things that you do. And last week you came and you made coffee and you went back home because Linda was not feeling well. You didn't have to do that, but you did. Thank you for your loyalty. You are appreciated. Linda. Linda is the only person I really know that you can see her fruit grow on the tree. It's incredible. I mean, God tells us not to judge others, but he tells us we can be examiners of fruit. And Linda's fruit is ripe and delicious and good. You can see it in her life. And I think that's incredible. She also serves right alongside her husband, Ray, makes the coffee, does things here at the church, usher, greeter, all the things that she does. But I just love that you can see growth in Linda. Linda, thank you. We appreciate you. Wayne is not here, but what I was going to say about Wayne is he is humble. You see humility in Wayne, and he is a listener. Not everybody can listen because they always think about the next thing they want to say, and I'm guilty. But Wayne is a great listener. Bev. Bev is a prayer warrior. She loves children, and she loves children's ministry, and she serves here in those capacities. Bill, it's your turn. Bill, you and Helen, and I'm going to say this about Helen too, are some of the most generous people I have ever met, and I know a lot of people. And you heard what I said about generosity. It's an act of worship. It pleases God. And God's word tells us so much about giving and giving generously. I don't really think I ever have met anybody as generous as the two of you. And Bill, thank you for your hard work here. You've been taking care of all of the lawn at the church. You come in here and you scrub the toilets and you clean things and you pick up where you see things need to be done. And you still work a full-time job. Thank you. We appreciate that. Helen. You are generous right alongside your husband, and you are grateful. You are a grateful person. And I don't think I've known too many families who have had the level of grief that you two have gone through, and yet you continue to give, to serve, to be grateful. And Helen, one of the things I personally really appreciate you about you is your honesty. You are very honest about where you are in your life and the things that are happening. And I appreciate that about you. Thank you. Katie's not here, but to Katie, I would say, Katie, you are an example of extravagant worship. Thank you, Katie, for being a good example of how we should worship. Michelle. Michelle recognizes needs in others, and she does what she can to meet those needs. She has a love for God's creation and for nature. It brings her joy. And she perseveres in adversity. Thank you, Michelle. Tom. Tom is an organizer. He is dedicated. He is loyal. He is loyal to this church. He is loyal to his community. Tom was gone this week because of some personal things he had to take care of with his mom. He just got back, last night? And he's still here today. And he's had a hard week. Tom loves the youth. God's called him to a ministry there. Tom, thank you. We appreciate you. Roxanne. Roxanne excels in community service. She loves the city of Haywarden, and it shows. She gets involved in lots of things. She, too, is loyal. She is patient with me when it comes to working with a computer and these slides and all this stuff. I understand none of it, but she's patient, and she waits, and she helps, and she sees good in others. And she has many times in Bible study, when I put myself down in some way, she said, but Pam, and she tells me the good that she sees. And she also told me that it's okay to play Candy Crush once in a while. So I have the okay from Roxanne. No, I'm just teasing. But Roxanne, I love you. I appreciate you. Gregory, way back there. Gregory, you are honoring to your parents. You are smart with the media, and I appreciate that very much. We as a church appreciate that. And you have integrity. I don't know too many young men that are your age that have the integrity that you have. Thank you for that, Gregory. Joshua. Joshua has a tenderness in his heart that makes my heart melt. A few weeks ago, I was sitting right over here with Roxanne. She had tears running down her face. We were praying together about a tough situation. Joshua sat right by her side. And a couple times I opened my eyes and I looked, and he was so concerned about what was happening with his mom. You love her, don't you, Joshua? That's a great thing. So thank you for being honoring to your parents, for your tender love toward your mom and others. We appreciate you. Lance, I called you this the other day, and it's still true. You are a financial wizard in my eyes, and I thank you for that. I also thank you for your calm, collected personality. Nothing gets you too riled that I have seen up to this point, and that's a good thing, to stay calm, cool, and collected. And I also really appreciate the fact that you and Brittany together have teamed together to be intentional about your parenting with your children. That is important. In a world today where chaos is in almost every home in America and dads are not present, thank you. You are appreciated. Brittany, I have found you to be a good listener as well. And not only do you listen, you fire back just as many questions. And that's a good thing, because it tells me you're listening, and it helps us to be challenged in what we're doing. You've served, all of you have served in some capacity here, but Brittany has been now on the elder board and is doing a wonderful job with that. You parent well, and you have a love for the church, this church, and it shows. Thank you. Hazel. Hazel. You have a love for worship, and I see you as a visionary. I know you're taking piano lessons, and you one day want to lead some worship here, is what I've been told. That's a vision for the church and a heart that wants to serve. Thank you, Hazel. Bennett, you have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. You feel things, see things, hear things that really speak to your inner man, the inner soul of who you are. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Bennett. We have Charles and his family. They're not here. One of the things that I could see with them is that they are overcomers. Charles has had to overcome so many things in his life. And his kids, they love to help. When they're here, they just want to help in some way. Not always in ways that they can, but they love to help. And Charles loves evangelism as well. So thank you, Charles. Now, those of you, oh, and I have my husband, who tomorrow we will have 41 years of marriage. Tomorrow's our anniversary. And I just want to say, this is hard. There isn't anyone, any man that God could have ever given to me. It's as forgiving and as sacrificial in his love for me as him. He has a quiet strength and he has a support for me that nothing on this earth can match, and it's given from God. And I have to tell you something personally, because of this illness, this crazy illness that I have, food is really tough and I can't serve him and cook for him like I used to be able to. Maria, don't you go yet. If you have to leave, I'm just gonna say about you real quickly and I'll get back to Paul. Maria is here today without her grandma. Her grandma moved to Texas, but she's still here. That is commendable. Thank you. You know, she came with her grandma when she was younger. She gave her heart to Jesus here in this church. And she's, well, actually it was in the other building, but she still comes. And even if she comes alone, not very many people are willing to come to church by themselves, but she comes. And I thank you for that. You are a wonderful young lady. We love you. There's a card for her over here somewhere. Here. So back to Paul. Just yesterday, Rebecca had called us a couple days ago and said, Mom, I have some cantaloupe. My family doesn't really like it. I know you can't have it, but would Dad like it? And I said, sure. I'm sure he would. So he was in town. I called him and asked him to stop by and get it. He got it from Rebecca and family. He brought it home. When he came in the door, I was on the phone with my sister, talking with her about a few things and praying with her on the phone. And in about 5 minutes, I got really sick and I started itching profusely and my lips were swelling up and just burning and hurting. And I could hardly concentrate on my phone call. And I said, Paul, something is wrong. And he said, what is it? And I said, I don't know, but something in the last few minutes has dramatically changed. It was the cantaloupe. He just brought it into the house, set it on the kitchen counter. I was in the living room. I wasn't even in the same room, but I had that much of a reaction. He immediately took it and put it outside. It took about 20 minutes, but all my symptoms subsided. Had to get rid of the cantaloupe. Now, he's eating it, but we're storing it differently. So what happened yesterday, and this is my point of how supportive he is to me and how self-sacrificing he is when it comes to his love for me. He said, I'll eat it outside. And he sat outside and ate his cantaloupe. And we like to have a meal together, and that we've taught our kids that you sit at the table and you have a meal together. So this has been extremely difficult. So I watched out the window while he was eating his cantaloupe, and tears ran down my face. And I said, what kind of a person is willing to go sit outside and eat things because someone else can't be with it? He's the person. And I want to say, I love you. I love you. Okay. Karen, you're not a regular part of this body, but we are glad to have you here. And the thing I know about you is your love for our community and your willingness to get in and do things. And I had sent you a thank you note a while back when I realized that you had put up, you had cleaned and did some things and put up little markers and everything in the cemetery. And you had gone through all that work. And it just shows me how much you love our community. I don't know a lot more about you, and I need to do better at that, getting to know you, but that is one thing I do know. And we say thank you to you. Corey, you are an awesome son-in-law. I always tell him he's my favorite son-in-law. And he says, I'm your only son-in-law. Still true. Still my favorite. Corey, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all the things you do for Paul and I. You are loved and appreciated. Rebecca, as my daughter, I know you two don't regularly attend this church anymore, but you used to, and still consider you a part of the body. You are the one that helped me to see this word for today, so I thank you for that. I thank you also for your attendance at Bible study and for your love for me as your mother. Ava, thank you. Thank you for taking time to be here today. I know you gave up time from your other church and your friends and the people that you could be with just to hear Grandma talk about love. So thank you. I love you. And I love your sweet spirit. Ian, thank you. You have to know about Ian. Ian loves to mow. So he comes to our house and he mows the lawn for us all the time. And we pay him a little bit here and there to do things for us. And he's a hard worker. And he does that. And I know he probably isn't real thrilled to be here today, but he's here. And so, Ian, I say thank you to you as well. They're a wonderful family, and I love them all very much. So, there's a couple other people. Jim Dunham. Jim is a faithful a faithful member of our church. He is unable to attend because of age and health issues, but he still serves through a card ministry, through giving, tithing, and the other things that he does. He has been a member of this church for a long time. Paul and I were just talking the other day that this month, or the 1st of September, Paul and I will have been in this church for 24 years. That's a good long time. But Jim was here before us, and a few other people were here before us. But that's a long time. So anyway, that's Jim. And then we did not want to forget about Larry. Larry has been here and been a part of our body off and on. He has a pastor's heart, and he loves kids, and he loves the Word of God. So all I can say is if there was any area of love we talked about today that you say, wow, I want to be able to evangelize more. I want to learn more about the Word. I want to learn how to serve. I want to learn how to be a better parent or a better husband or a better wife or a better whatever. If God spoke to you in some way, look around you, because all of these people here display Jesus' love in different ways, and we can learn from each other. So let's strive to love the Jesus way. Thank you.
Can you share something about you? Yes, I'll shout. I have a mom voice.
Pam has done a lot for this body, and she is not the first person to want commendation for that. She doesn't want to be overly recognized for anything. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that she does that none of us will ever realize. The thing I personally admire about Pam is her obedience. She has a very obedient heart. God has asked her to do a lot of challenging things personally, and she has said, okay, and just gone with it. There are no questions, there's no begging, there's no trying to talk God out of it. She just blindly goes, okay, God, that's what I'll do then. And I personally admire that about Pam. I think that I am very set in my ways. It's very hard for me. I'm very stubborn. It's where our kids get it from. And so when God asked me to do something, I was like, oh, but could we maybe not to that extent? And Pam just dives in. She's the first to see a need in other people. She's the first with an encouraging word. She prays for others more than I will ever know. And she's just a great person to have in this body. So thank you, Pam. We appreciate you.
Would you like to close in prayer? Or do you...
Okay.
Brittany asked if I'd close in prayer, so I'll do that. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful body that you have given to us here at Friendship. Lord, I thank you for loving us and setting an example for us. Lord, you gave your very life for us. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to imitate that in just a small way, the love you have for us. So God, I ask that as we leave this place, we would go out looking at love in a whole different light, and we would work at loving the way that you do, and that we would not be afraid to step on a scale. In Jesus' name, amen.